Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
And the adventures on the high seas. Boys and girls, have y'all had fun this week? All right. Me too. Well, if you have your Bible, let's go ahead and get started. Turn to Acts chapter 27, and we will go there this morning. Basically, I'm going to recap, kind of let you know what we've been learning about for the last few days. We've been on an adventure in the high seas, and this week we have been aboard the great ship, the Resurrection, as you can see right here. And we've learned all this week what it means to be a crew member on the Resurrection, and we use this illustration of being a pirate on this ship, living for Jesus, or as an illustration of what it means to live our life for Jesus. And all week we've learned, each day we've learned something like this.
What's the big idea?
What's the big idea?
What's the big idea?
We've had a big idea every day. Can somebody tell me what the first one was? On this ship, we learned that what? That's right. We learned that Jesus is our captain. Say that when they say, on this ship, Jesus is our captain. We learned it through Hebrews 2 that through the sufferings that he endured, Jesus has become the captain of our salvation. And because of that, that now brings us as sons or daughters or crew members of his ship to share in his glory. And the next night, who remembers the second night's main point? Right back here. On this ship, you remember? We're never lost. That's right. Say that when you say, on this ship, we're never lost. Y'all can bring that big spotlight up here. It's getting dark. Everybody's getting a little sleepy on me. We learned on this ship that we're never lost and that God has made a way to him for us. And if we have submitted our life to our captain, then we'll never be lost. Our captain will always find us and he will always keep us. And then last night, what did we learn? On this ship, we're never alone, or we never sail alone. When Jesus is our captain, we never have to face the elements of life alone. We look to the story of Paul and Silas, who, while in an unfair situation, were able to praise God because they knew he would never leave them. And of course, we know that because of that, God set them free, and the jailer and his family got saved because of it. And that was the three big ideas from the last 3 days. And today's big idea is this. Repeat after me. Say, on this ship, we're anchored in the storm. Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for letting us be aboard this ship. And we pray, God, that you would minister to us as we hear from your word. In Jesus' name, everybody said. Now, in Acts 27, we read about Paul. We find Paul as a prisoner on a ship with other prisoners on his way to Rome. Paul has been falsely charged with sedition against the government, and the Jewish leaders have plotted to kill Paul, but he was able to escape. And in order to avoid being charged by them, he exercised his right as a Roman citizen to appeal to Caesar. Thus, the reason he is on this ship with other prisoners and on his way to Rome. And they end up the story tells us they end up getting caught in a great storm, and they have to end up tossing over their tackle, their gear, their supplies, their food, and everything that they had in order to stay afloat. And now we see Paul, who has a promise from God, begin to take charge of this ship, and we'll start reading in verse 21. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me." Any guys ever said that to your wife in here? I hope not. "And you should not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe that God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.' Now, when the 14th night had come and we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea. At about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land, and they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors. How many?
4 anchors
from the stern and prayed for day to come. That'll be important here in just a minute. But today, like our main point said, I want to talk about being anchored in the storm. Now, part of sailing the high seas, nowadays sailors would get out their mobile device and they would make sure that and check the forecast of wherever they were going. They would make sure that the weather's good. They would make sure that the conditions were fair. And if they were not, they would try to put off their trip to another day. Well, Paul didn't have the National Weather Service in his day. But if he did, I believe that the instance he faced and what he was going to would be identified by the National Weather Service as a PDS, a particularly dangerous situation. And the fact is we sail this life and we go through our life every day, we're going to face the occasional PDS, the occasional particularly dangerous situation, a particular storm here or there. Is anybody in here, can you attest to that? You've ever faced a storm in your life? How many of you know you're facing one right now? That was a good joke, and I got nothing, just dead air. Golly. I got to work on that one later. But I want to talk to those who are facing a storm or might potentially be facing a storm, because there's no reason as God's children to face a storm and not gain some kind of benefit from it. Because we don't, like we've talked about all our life, there's no reason for us to go through a storm and not get something from it. We don't just go through storms for no reason. We don't just face things haphazardly. When we face something, it can be a tool in the hand of God for our life. Now, there was a story you may remember back in 2009. There was a couple of members of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and a couple of college football players, and they set out one day to go on a deep-sea fishing trip, and they began to sail into a storm, and what happened was their boat got caught in the storm, it capsized, and 3 of the 4 men died. Now, this is an odd situation. These are 4 strong, physically able men who any other time in any other place they should have been able to face something. But in this instance, 3 of them drowned, amen, and 1 of them survived. After the investigation of everything happened, it was determined that the reason that their ship sunk is because they were improperly anchored. Their inability to anchor their ship properly caused their boat to be capsized. And with that thought, we know that there are many storms that we face, not just real storms like we've had all week long in the rainiest city in America now, but not just real storms, but family storms, marital storms, mental storms, emotional storms, financial storms, and the list could go on and on and on of storms that we may not see. Storms we may not understand that there's clouds in the sky and there's rain and we can't forecast it, but storms that we face. And the reason that those of us around you or those around us may not realize that we're going through a storm is because if sometimes we have to go through a storm and then we still have to get up and go to work the next day, or we still have to keep living and we still have to do whatever we're doing, even though we are facing a potentially dangerous situation. That's why you should never get jealous of somebody and what their life has, because they may look good, their car may look nice, their house may look nice, their family may look good, but you don't know the storms that they have faced to get there. Amen? People can perceive that you have it all together, not realizing the storms that you faced. But let's not forget this morning. The presence of a storm never means that God is absent. That was a good spot to say amen this morning. Are you alive? Do we need to go over the rules again so you're awake? You can open your mouth and say amen this morning, okay? We never go through a storm where God is absent. God is with us in everything we do. It's just like we learned. God is with us in the storm, and we're never alone. Job said this. He said, look, I go forward, and he's not there. And I look backward and I cannot perceive him. And when he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as pure gold. Job is saying, I don't always see him in the places I usually see him. Sometimes I miss him. Sometimes it seems like he's not there. But he knows where I am, and he is there with me. And when that happens, I shall come forth as pure gold. But often we buy into this notion that because I'm in a storm, God is not there. Because I'm facing a situation, God must not be real or God must not care. And I want to tell you this morning that that's not biblical. That's a carnal thought that is using man's ration, and it is not a biblical thought. This thought, if God is really with you, then why did they die? If God is really with you, why did everything fall apart? If God is really with you, then why did you lose everything? This notion that we face a storm means God is not with me, but that is just not true this morning. Just because we're facing a storm, we know that God is with us in spite of the storm. Just like we said, we know that we're never lost because he's with us and we never sail alone. And oftentimes, we can take heart knowing that when we face opposition or we face a storm, it's an opposition to a promise that God has given us. Amen? Paul was given a promise. Paul was given a promise that he would stand before Caesar. He would stand before Caesar and proclaim the truth of the kingdom. Jesus appeared to him and said, you will attest to me before Caesar in Rome. And on his journey to get there, he encounters a storm that looks like it'll take his life. And like Paul, as members of Jesus' ship, we face opposition to the prophetic promises from God. The reason that we have prophetic promises is because of the opposition we face. How many of you know you don't need God to promise you what's obvious? You don't need God to promise you what you already see, because if we see it, we don't need a promise. We just need the courage to keep sailing. But if we're facing a storm and we're facing trouble, we need the prophetic promise of God to keep us in that opposition. God gives us a promise when he knows something is going to happen that is going to cause us to doubt him. He's giving us a heads up that through the storms we face, and though the storms we face may seem grave, it does not have the ability to rob you of what God has promised you. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he gives us a promise, how many of you know it'll come to pass? Amen? If he said it, it'll come to pass. We can stand on those things and we can withstand the things that try to get us out of step. And Paul receives this promise that he will stand before Caesar. In fact, he receives it while he's thrown into solitary confinement in order to keep him from getting killed. He's in prison. He's in solitary confinement, and Jesus appears to him and gives him this promise at the opportunity and at the moment. It doesn't seem like a promise could happen. Fast forward, now Paul stands before the men on the ship, and he declares to them, listen, last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve appeared to me. He's saying this as they've lost their tackle, as they've lost their food supply, as they've lost their supplies. But in those moments, we find that the promise of God is still real, it's still true, and God will intervene on our behalf. Now, Paul here is cool as a cucumber. No problem. They're all scared for their life. And Paul is saying, it's all good. God told me I'm going before Caesar, and because you're with me, you're going to live too. And there's a lesson here that we'll cover more in just a minute. But listen, if you don't have enough faith to get through your storm, it would be a good idea for you to find somebody who does and get onto their coattails and ride their faith as long as you can in the situations where you don't think you can make it. That's why being in the house of God is important this morning, all right? And he goes on to say, for I believe God, it shall be done for me, just as it was told to me. I believe God will could do what he said he would do. How many of y'all believe that this morning? Brother Kevin, if you would come, go ahead and get ready. And they did several things here in order to survive. But after exhausting all their options, it says to keep their ship from blowing into the rocks, they dropped four anchors. Somebody say four anchors. four anchors. Tonight I want to talk to you the rest of this time, or this morning, about dropping four anchors. And here's the first one. It's the Word of God. Everybody say, hi, Brother Kevin. He makes a good-looking anchor. You good? I'm kind of a big ship, so okay. Four anchors. If you're going to be anchored in the storms of life, you have to first be anchored to the Word of God, okay? It says earlier in this chapter in Acts 27 that when the storms began to get rough, it said that they began to undergird the ship. That means that they would have somebody, a sailor or somebody, jump off the ship with a big long rope, and they would swim under the ship, bring it back the other up on the other side, and bring it around. And they would wrap the ship in this rope several times. And what they do is they would kind of tighten the ship's structure, tighten its foundation, restore its integrity to make it be able to be strong enough to withstand the storms that it faces. And the Bible says this. It says, therefore, no, it doesn't. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There it is. It says to gird up the loins of your mind. Well, what part of your mind is the loins? I'll leave Pastor John to tell you that next week. But it says to gird up the loins of your mind. In the context he's writing to a people familiar with this phrase, gird up your loins. It means that in a time where people typically wore tunics in the culture that they lived in case they had to get somewhere quickly, they would take their tunic and they would tie it up around them or tuck it into their girdle or their undergarments so that when they walked, they wouldn't be stepping on the loose ends. And if we're going to be anchored in the storm, if we're going to face the situations that we face, then we're going to have to gird up our minds. We're going to have to pick up the loose ends of our thinking. We're going to have to gird up our thoughts and our thought patterns that we haven't submitted to God and His Word to properly anchor our life to the things that we face. The thing that the enemy will use to trip us up the most is unsecured thought patterns and thoughts left to their own that become monsters in our lives because we don't do what His Word says to do. And if you don't do as Peter says and undergird the loins of your mind and gird up your thoughts according to the Word of God, you'll begin to justify bad behavior as an acting out or as an excuse to act out the way that you want to. And that behavior will destroy you. I know that's kind of old school holiness message, but can we still believe that bad behavior is still a bad thing? Not just because it makes you look bad, not because it makes the church this, that, or the other, but because it actually wears at you and destroys your life. And I can tell you the obvious implications of that. Oh, it's no big deal, or it's not, it doesn't matter, it was just one time, or what they don't know won't hurt them, and all these things that we can say. But what happens about the things that aren't obvious to us? What happens when we justify thought patterns like getting anxiety because of a bad report from the doctor? Does it make God's word any less true? No. What happens when we let stress affect our health and our blood pressure because we think things will never change? If you don't anchor your mind to the Word of God, then you'll believe any old thing that comes your way. But if you're anchored to the Word and your mind begins to start drifting away, then the Word will rise up in you and say things like, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Because greater, somebody say greater. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I hope my rope holds. And when your kids are acting crazy and they're driving on your last nerve and you want to call them a little heathen, the Word of, and you start to drift, God's Word will rise up in you and say, therefore, lay us, no, that's not it. It says this, I got it in my notes. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. That's the truth. That's the reality. And when our mind begins to drift, God will use his word to start bringing us back. Amen. And sometimes, listen, it might not stop us, but it might start slowing us down a little bit. I might be trying to go off the edge, but all of a sudden I'm not getting there as quickly as I would have otherwise, because I've anchored myself to the word of God, and it's slowing me down. And if we're not anchored to the word, we'll be anchored to our feelings. And that's not good, because what if you don't feel like it today? Has anybody ever said that? Yep. I don't feel like it today. It doesn't sound good today. I don't want to do that today. God can be experienced through your senses, but God is not sensual. He's not a sensual God. He is the God who is moved by faith. And the reason that is because he knows your senses and your feelings can't be trusted. Some of you are hot right now. Some of you are cold right now. And in about 5 minutes, that'll switch. So what? When I don't feel God, that doesn't mean that he isn't there. That's why we don't anchor our feelings. We don't anchor to our feelings. We anchor to his word. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness, listen, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Brother Brandon, if you would come grab the next anchor for me and come up. The word, the implanted word of God, which is able to save your soul, the soulish man, the mind, our feelings, our experiences, our emotions, our memories, our desires, all that is getting saved when we anchor ourselves to the word. And the next thing that we anchor ourselves to is this. We anchor ourselves to the purpose of God. Let me tie myself to it real quick. I was anchored, so I didn't sink. It's all good. If I look at my anchors, I'm not going anywhere. I've got two more to go, but I think I'm good right now. Listen, we anchor ourselves to the purpose of God. Somebody say, the purpose of God. Listen, my purpose preceded my birth. No matter what storm I was born into, my purpose is not subject to it. God has a reason that you're here. Everyone that's here today, God has a reason for it. God has a reason that you were born at the time you were and the way you were born. In fact, the Bible says, listen, you should take heart. For the Bible says we are his workmanship, sent into the earth for such a time as this. As bad as we say the world is around us, God thought enough of you to let you be born now. Why? Because he has a purpose for you, and he has a use for you to fix the world that we all think is bad. We have a purpose. God decided that purpose, listen, without our input and without our opinion. Jeremiah says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Before you were ever a twinkle in your mother's eye, God had a plan for you. The Bible says about David, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. It shows that David died after he served his generation, after he served his purpose, according to God's word. And there's a lot of things that you can face in your life. But listen, I think that the safest place you can find yourself is in the will of God. The safest place you can find yourself is the plan that God has for you. The safest place to be is in his purpose for your life. When you understand your purpose, it'll help you to endure what you're going through in order to help you get to where you're going to. And people have their lives fall apart every day, running from storms, not knowing why they're there. But knowing your purpose, listen, will keep you anchored and make you able to face the storm that is challenging you. It was true about Jesus when it said, but for the joy set before him, He endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. If purpose can carry Jesus through, it can carry us through. Amen? Amen. All right, let's see. Dathan, You're next on the anchor game. Give these big guys a break. I'm just kidding, Dathan. The next thing that we anchor ourselves to is the worship of God. Somebody say worship. Listen. You can whine about your storm, or you can worship through your storm. But you can't do both. You got to pick one. You can let your situation overwhelm you, or you can worship the God who can overcome the overwhelming situation. You can get bad, or you can say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and continually shall his praise be in my mouth. David said this. He said, I will extol you. What does that mean? It means I will exalt you. I will lift your name high. I will praise you. I will make you big, my God and my King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. And he says this, great is the Lord. Somebody say great. Great is the Lord. You know what that means? That means that you have nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter what your situation, what the storm, or how your personality goes. God is great no matter what. Amen. And then it said, and he is greatly to be praised. Somebody say greatly. That means why he's great, he is greatly to be praised. He's great. We get to declare that he's great. And when we proclaim that promise in our life, we begin to let that promise intercede us and take over our life and manifest it all through every situation that we face. It changes me. It's a truth that it affects me and affects every part of my life. Abraham, it was written about him in Romans. It said this, it said, no unbelief made him waver. No unbelief, nothing that he faced made him waver concerning the promise of God. Why? Because he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. You've heard it said before that your praise is a weapon. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of flesh and blood. We don't actually take a sword and lop the devil's head off. But when we go through terrible situations, when we face storms, and when we feel like we've lost everything, the most powerful people are the ones that can say, hallelujah, I'm still standing and I've made it. They're the people that can praise God no matter what. When life comes at them, they find that their love for God and his goodness begins to keep them from jumping ship and from falling off. We sing that he's good. We sing he's a good, good father, not because we had a good, good day, but just because he's good and that's all. Not because we didn't have something bad happen, not because nobody talked bad about us, and not because we have it all figured out, but we lift our eyes, listen, to the hills. From whence comes our help? Our help comes from the Lord, and I need one more anchor. Brother Jim, can you help me? It's just right back there, and let me get another rope here. I'm really trying to jump off this stage. We'll see if I can do it. And the worship team could come up. I'm almost done. And the last place that we need to get anchored in is the house of God. Amen, Brother Stormy. That's good. Go ahead. We need to get anchored in the house of God. Now listen, just like those NFL players, they went through the situation they went to because they were improperly anchored. And if we're improperly anchored, if we're anchored to the wrong things, it can be dangerous for our life. So here's the facts. Some people in here might act like they're Jesus' first cousin, and some people act like they get up in the morning and Jesus makes their bed for us. But for the rest of us, Some days we have days where we tend to drift. Some days we have days that we're not as spiritual as we'd like to be. Some days we act like we're not supposed to act. The rest of us are prone to drift from time to time. Not every day do we find ourselves right next to Jesus. We want to. We want to live as Abraham, that no unbelief can make us waver, but sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we face disappointment. Sometimes we go through something that we don't know how we're going to fix it or get out of it. Sometimes things get rough. Sometimes we get up and we didn't have our devotion and we didn't get time to have prayer. And some days we get let down. But all of us are here, like I said, if we're real and if we're drawing breath today, we're prone to drift. We're prone to drift from time to time because of the storms and the disappointments of life. But if we're anchored, listen, in the right place with fellow believers, like the guys who were on Paul's ship, who didn't have faith, didn't know about God, were prisoners. And because they were anchored with Paul, because of his faith, they survived. Sometimes we need somebody else's faith to get us through. Sometimes we need our brother and sister to help us out. I told you last week when I preached that when I grew up, my family didn't go to church. I got saved in the little children's church in Tucumcari, New Mexico when I was 10 years old. And not long after that, I came back home and I found a church to join. I found a little youth group to go to. And in that youth group, listen, they taught me how to read the Word of God. They taught me how to cast this first anchor in. Because of this anchor, I found myself here. And eventually I learned how to do this and then found this for my life. And when I was a kid, and we learned about it this week. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. That's always been my favorite scripture. Now, for more reasons than I can even tell you. But I remember when I was 13 years old and my dad had quit a job because it was very stressful. And he went to a job that was a lot less pay. And we had to file for bankruptcy and we went through these like real hard financial struggles. And I could tell as a child my parents were very stressed about it. You know, we think our kids don't know. They know. And I could tell there was something going on, that everything wasn't okay. We were living from paycheck to paycheck. We were eating cheap. We were doing what we could to get by. And my parents did the best they could. But I know that they were stressed out at times. And I remember as a kid, because the house taught me about the Word, I remember one night reading through the NIV Bible that I got from the church. And I came upon Matthew 6:33. And something happened in my heart that night. The worry that my mom and dad faced, the worry that I seen kind of overwhelm their life, lifted off me. And for that, and that reason, I've never, not once, got into a situation. You drift from time to time, you do get, you know, a little worried, but I've never seen God fail me in the concern of finances and taking care of me. And I can stand to you now because of getting anchored in the right place. I can say like David, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen his seed begging for bread. Because I got anchored in the house of God. I remember as a kid standing in an altar like this, thinking that I wanted to go and be a music teacher after high school. If y'all could start playing. I wanted to be a music teacher. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to college and be a band director because I thought that would be cool. I thought it was fun. I loved playing in band in high school. And I stood in an altar in a house just like this one. And one night when I was 16 years old, I felt a joy rush over me like I had never understood before. And that night I began to speak in an unknown tongue that I had never heard before and never had understood. Like I said, my parents were go to church maybe every Easter. And when it was a Baptist church. So I didn't know what was going on. But I found out because I got a house to get anchored into. And that same night I learned that God had different plans than being a music teacher for me, that he was calling me to be a minister of his word. What if I hadn't have been in the house that night? God could have done it another way, I don't know. But God set it up that night for me to spend the rest of my life anchored in this house. And I remember as a teenager being on fire for God, and during praise and worship, I would sing and I would dance and I would wave my arms. And there was a couple of us that did that. And it was kind of embarrassing from times, but we felt like God wanted us to show his glory, wanted us to show forth his praises. And I remember being in the house when I was discouraged, and an older couple came up to me and they said, "Son, you keep doing what you're doing. You keep honoring God. You keep living for him. You keep worshiping him like you do. Because when you're our age, you can't jump around and stuff like that. So when you do it, you're doing it for us. You're doing it for God, but we're getting part of the blessing too." And now I'm anchored in this house and I'm being encouraged to walk in God's plan for me. And then, of course, I've told you my testimony. A few years ago, I was a youth pastor at a church, and some things went down behind the scenes. Some things, I never got in trouble, not one time in the 3+ years that I'd worked there. I'd never faced any trouble, nothing ever bad said against me, and there was something going on behind the scenes. And then one day they decided that there was a gentleman in the church who had a lot more money than I did and a lot more influence in the community than I did. They decided they wanted him to be the youth pastor instead. And I kind of felt like the rug got ripped out from under me. They had offered me another position, but I kind of seen the way they did things, and I turned that down. Subsequently, it just kind of felt like everything fell apart. Here I was. I thought I was anchored here and in a place that I could make it, and I just feel like my life was crumbling apart. And so I found myself several months down the line, and I was trying my best to cut this one. I didn't want any part of it anymore. Not if people were going to act like that. Not if people were going to break my heart after they told me they loved me. I'll go find something else to do. And I was trying my hardest to cut myself from this one. But all the while, it was still tugging at me. I was trying to ignore it. I really was. And one day I went to a church. I went to a prayer meeting, a men's prayer meeting. And you know how those things go. They're usually scarcely populated. And I went in because nobody knew me and I didn't know anybody. I went in because while I was trying to cut loose, I could feel all these things still tugging at me. And I went in there and I began to pray with two guys, one I never talked with before and one I'd met only one other time. It was the pastor of the church, and I had said hi to him in passing. And they didn't know me, and they didn't know my story. They didn't know what was going on. And they began to pray for me. These men in this house began to have faith that I didn't have, that this could still be real in my life. And I remember the pastor prophesying over me, saying, "I see in the spirit you have accusers all around you, saying that you're not a man of God, you're not this. They're telling lies about you," he said, "but I want you to know today, that's not what God thinks." He said, "You're still a man of God, you're still the man that I've called, and you're still anchored to your purpose." Then, the next guy had his turn. He said, he was identifying this as a time not just of merely a storm, but a time of transition. And not really just a time of transition, but a time of transplant. God had pulled my family out of that ground we were in and transplanting us into a new ground where our roots could grow and we could become more equipped for what God had for us. He said, as when a tree has been, this is what he said, I went and wrote it down after I heard it. He said, as when a tree or a plant has been moved to an area adequate and big enough to facilitate its growth. I thought I was disappointed, but God was just moving me into a place that could handle what he wanted to bring out of me through this. And this is what he said. This situation is being used by God to strengthen your roots, causing them to plunge deeper into the ground. And he said this, because trees who never face a storm never develop a root system to help them survive trouble. You think what you're facing is just the wrong place at the wrong time. You think it's not fair. But what if God is letting this happen to you? What if God is sending you through this storm because he knows you're going to come out on the other side, like Job said, as pure gold? And there are people in here, listen, that are improperly anchored. You're not as dedicated to the house as you really need to be. You're not as dedicated to the word as you need to be. You don't feel the Spirit move you when it's time to worship. And I'm telling you that this morning is the time to cast your anchors into the water and get properly anchored. Listen, once a week faith, once a month faith is not going to cut it. Your grandma's faith and your grandma's prayers might get you by for a time, but you got to get your own word. As we begin to pray, some of us are in here are facing a storm, a particularly dangerous situation, and you have no anchor to hold you in the storm. So God is here today, listen, to help us get our anchors set properly. Listen, what keeps your marriage from running off track? These do. Not being more sexy, not making more money, not getting a bigger following on whatever you have. These is what keeps your marriage intact. What keeps your family from imploding? These do. What keeps you from falling flat on your face? I hope it's these guys. What keeps you from falling apart when everything around you is falling apart? It's these. So I want to pray for three type of people in here. If you'll bow your heads with me. I want to pray for people in a storm. You're in a situation now that you don't understand, and you need God to throw the anchor in for you. You need to throw the anchor in and endure. I need to pray for people that are heading towards a storm. If you're not in one now, you're on your way to one, if I can give you that good news. And I want to pray for people who've just come through a storm, who may be disappointed, who maybe feel like they're dried out and beat up, and you need a touch of God to help you and get strengthened again, just like I did. And while I believe that pretty well qualifies all of us, here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to pray, and they're going to begin to sing, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to get around with your family. At different spots in there, I want you to get out of your seat, get with your family, and I want you to begin to pray with them. I want you to begin to use this day to get your family anchored in the places that God has for you. And some of us in here may not have any family, but I'm pretty sure we can quickly adopt a few around us and make sure that that's not a problem, okay? So God, I pray for everyone in here this morning. I pray, God, for these anchors in our life that you have set up. I pray, God, that you would help fix our improper anchors this morning, that you would touch our lives through the storms that we face, and help us, God, to get where you want us to be so that we can endure and cause our roots to grow deeper into the ground and walk in what you have for us. We thank you for your love for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Just quickly, around your seat, move around. Get with your family. Get with somebody around you. If you want to come up to the front for prayer, you can do that. Thank you, gentlemen. You could just drop your ropes, and that should be good right there. As they begin to sing, find a kid, find a teenager, find somebody around you to pray.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.